So if I got $500, the person sitting next to me got $500. Because they had everything in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and bought the prices of the things which were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. I want to talk to you today from our core value series, Giving, five ways that a church achieves oneness through giving. I want to teach you five ways that a church achieves oneness through giving. First of all, let's get a good definition of oneness. Oneness is singleness of heart, the condition of being undivided in agreement. And so the first way that a church achieves oneness is through believing. That's what the scripture says in verse 20:32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. So the first way that a church achieves oneness is through believing. A church cannot achieve oneness through giving unless it believes. The church or the people that make up the church must have a commonality in their belief of the scriptures, its leadership, and the vision that God has given the leaders that he will perform what he has called them to do. Amen. All of us that are connected to this ministry must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he's the only one that can put us back in right standing with the Father. So that's the first commonality we got to have. We got to believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, and through him is the way back to the Father. Amen. If you believe that you can get in good standing by Buddha, if you believe that you can get in good standing by Hare Krishna or doing a lot of good deeds, then we won't have commonality in oneness, and we sure won't have it in giving, because we don't even believe the same thing. Amen. Number two is that you have to believe in the leaders of the church. Amen. And so you have to believe in us. You have to believe in my wife and I. Amen. You have to believe that God has called us to do a work. There's a vision on the inside of us, and that God is able to fulfill what he's called us to do. Amen. Because we speak into your lives on a weekly basis. And when we speak into your life on a weekly basis, you got to believe that God has unctioned us to say what we're saying, and that we have a word for your life.
Amen.
All right. Amen. And then, in order for us to achieve oneness through giving, all of us should believe in the vision that God will perform what he's shown your leader and what he has called them to do. So that's the first way. Number two, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Where is Corinthians? All right, here it is. Every man, chapter 9, verse number 7, every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So the second way is that a church achieves oneness through giving is when the people understand that giving is a matter of the heart. Many of us have been giving from our head instead of from our heart. And so my focus today is to hopefully help you change your way of thinking towards giving by teaching you how to give from your head instead of from your heart instead of from your head. And so if you would be honest with yourself, you would find that you have been giving with your head instead of your heart. If you be honest with yourself. When you give with your head, you leave no room to give from your heart. Now, this is what I believe with all of us sitting in here today. I believe that most of us have a desire in our hearts to really give towards the things of God. I'm talking about financially. But oftentimes, your head often overrides what's in your heart. And so it's not that you don't want to give. It's not that you don't want to sow. It's not that you don't want to be a part of the kingdom of God financially. It's just that oftentimes your head overrides what's in your heart. Because you see what your expenses are. You see this, that, and the other. And you say, man, you know, I got to do this, that, and the other. And so I can't really give like I want to give. Am I doing all right? But if the church is going to achieve oneness through giving, our hearts must be turned towards the things of God. And so I want you to ask yourself a question this morning. What is purposed in my heart? I want you to ask yourself, do I have a desire in my heart to see the things of God come to pass in the church that I'm a part of? Am I or have I shown a commitment towards this in my giving? I'm talking about every time we have offering when the plate comes around. If the CFA was to pull your giving record, praise the Lord.
Come on. Amen.
Would it show a commitment in your heart towards the things of the ministry and the things of the kingdom, or would it show otherwise? Y'all mighty quiet in here. So based upon your giving, what would it show? Would it show a head commitment or would it show a heart commitment? Y'all quiet. That probably means I got the right message.
Amen.
Number three, let's go to 1 Corinthians 16. And let's look at verse 1 and 2. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And so number three, the third way that a church achieves oneness through giving is that the people give as God has prospered them.
Amen.
And so the first thing you have to determine is how has God prospered you? Right. Ask yourself this question, how has God prospered me? Well, for some of us, God has prospered you in such a way that you have more than enough. Your income, you have enough income to cover your monthly expenses and normally have plenty left over. That's for some of us. Well, then there's some of us that barely have enough to cover our monthly expenses, and you often have very little to hold you over until the next time you get paid, unless you're blessed with something extra. Am I doing all right? So I'm talking to two different types of people. Those that have more than enough, and then I'm talking to those that don't have enough, but they kind of have to struggle until the next time that they get paid. Or if they get blessed with a little something during the week.
Uh-huh.
And so you got to ask yourself, how has God prospered me? Second thing you must determine is what have you laid in store to help finance the kingdom? The Bible says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you, lay by him in store as God has prospered him. So how much of your excess is used to help finance the kingdom? Outside of your monthly responsibilities, how much of your resources go towards the things of God? You know, we have to change our mentality and we have to change our way of thinking. Because, you know, we'll go to the restaurant and we'll spend $100.
Come on, Pastor.
We'll go to Captain George's or we'll go to Red Lobster and we'll spend $100 there. But we won't spend $100 at church.
Come on,
Preach, Pastor.
We're in the house.
I'm clapping by myself this morning.
We're in the house.
We buy designer clothes. We drive nice cars. Most of us here drive nice cars. We have designer clothes. But when it comes to the things of God and the things that have an eternal reward, sometimes we have a slack and we have a lacking. To sow. We have tithe. We have offering. We have radio ministry. And sometimes the church runs the risk of going lack because what we have in store does not go towards financing the things of God. I want y'all to know as your pastor that I am committed to financing the kingdom of God.
Amen.
I am committed to seeing the things of God come to pass in this local church and in my life. And I just don't speak with my mouth, but my heart lines up with my actions.
That's right.
I normally don't ask you to do anything that I haven't already done.
Amen.
Y'all quiet again.
Amen.
Number four. Am I going to get any amens from y'all today?
Yes, sir,
I don't know, Rod. Am I going to get any amens? All right. I should have brought some myself. I want to help you. Where's Malachi? End of the Bible, right?
Not.
The Old Testament. Yes. Thought it was the last book in the Old Testament, right? That's what I meant, the last book in the Old Testament, not the end of the Bible, the end of the Old Testament. Number four, the fourth way that a church achieves oneness through giving is when the people understand the importance of faithful and consistent tithing. When people understand the importance of faithful and consistent tithing, they commit to their individual responsibility without compromise.
All right.
Listen to me closely. If those of you that are a part of this ministry, all of us in here, the 20 people that we have on roll, if all of us would commit to faithfully tithing on a consistent basis, each time you get paid, you take your tithe out and you give an offering, you know that our church finances would double. I said, if all of us in here would commit to tithing, I'm not even asking about offering. I'm just saying tithing, giving what belongs to God, our church's finances would double.
Amen.
When everyone commits to tithing faithfully, it strengthens our unity.
Amen.
When we are unified, it helps to develop oneness. Why? Because everyone is doing their individual part that benefits the organization wholly. Those of you that are familiar with organizations and associations that require dues from their member, they depend on 100% participation in order to keep on track financially. And the world understands this principle. They say if we got 30 people and we ask each of them to give 20% or whatever of their dues each month, then we can do certain things financially based upon an individual commitment, and that breeds unity. I'm trying to get us unified through giving, church. I'm trying to get all of us to understand the importance of giving and tithing and everybody doing their own individual responsibility. Am I getting any amens? Well, Pastor, I'm not a tither or I'm not tithing consistently. How can I or do I become a consistent tither so that I can please God? I want to teach you how to do that. Three simple steps to becoming a faithful tither. Number one is you must realize that you're spending God's money and not your own. When you get paid, you get $400 a week, $1,200 a month, whatever your income is, $120 of that, if it's $1,200, belongs to God. That does not belong to you. Hello. I'm not getting any amens this morning. 10% of that off the top does not belong to you. It belongs to God. And so when you take God's resources, then you're spending money that don't even belong to you. So legally, we're wearing stuff and driving stuff that we're paying for with other people's money. Did you bring any amens with your rod? You brought some. Let's look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Will a man rob God, yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and in offerings? You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. That's the only thing God says to people that take his money. That's the only time you'll hear about cursing, is when you rob God and you take his money. So the first thing you got to understand that you're spending God's money and you're not spending your own. And the Bible says you cannot be blessed because you're cursed with a curse. You can't be blessed and cursed at the same time. Number two, the next time that you get paid or receive increase, immediately take out your tithe. So when you get paid Friday, you get paid Saturday, you get paid Tuesday, you get paid Wednesday, you get paid Thursday, however the days of the week. But the first thing you have to do is you have to take that tithe out first. Because when you take that tithe out first, it shows God that you honor him. I said, when you take the tithe out first, it shows God that you honor him. And when you honor him, he will bless you. Plus, if you wait until after you paid anything, you normally won't have enough left. So if you're tithing based upon what you have left, you're not tithing appropriately according to Scripture. Because God said he wanted the first fruit of your increase, and then in Leviticus he said the tithe is holy. So you have to commit to that, church, and I'm trying to get all of us to understand our individual responsibility. It's not the big picture, it's the small picture. The Bible says that the little leaven leavens the whole lump. But if everybody in this place that's a member of this church would do what God requires of us, our income would double. Simply by tithing alone, doing what God required and doing what God asked. Am I right about this, CFA? I checked my numbers before I got this message prepared. Number three is you put God to the test. Tithe faithfully and consistently and watch God give you increase. And that's what the Bible say. He said, bring all your tithes, verse 10, into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house and do what? Prove me now, saith the Lord, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive. So you put God to the test. If God's word said, I'm going to do A, B, C, and D when you tithe, then that's what you do. And you trust God and you watch him do what he said he was going to do according to his word. Am I doing all right? Number five, and we're going to let you go. I want to show you, let's go back to Acts chapter number 4. I want to show you what happens to a church when they achieve oneness through giving. Can I show you something? Number 5, go back to Acts chapter 4, verse 32, is that God brings his people into a place where they can have all things in common. Acts 4, verse 32. When God brings his people into a place where they can have all things in common, they become unstoppable because they are unified and committed to seeing the things of God come to pass. Now, when God recognizes this, he does four things. Verse 33, and with great power gave the disciples witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. So the first thing he does is he releases a greater measure of power. Say, more power.
More power.
Say, I need more power.
I need more power.
Come on, say it like you mean it. I need more power.
I need more power.
I need more power. The church needs more power.
Amen.
The church takes on a level of influence that they not only impact their local community, but they impact their region, nation, and then the world. I got a global vision inside of my belly that I just don't want to impact this community. I want to impact the region, then I want to impact the nation, then I want to impact the entire world.
Amen.
By raising an awareness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's done by when a church recognizes that when we all do our part financially, God gives us increase and we become unstoppable.
Amen.
How many of y'all in here want to be on an unstoppable church?
Amen.
And unstoppable
Amen.
People?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I don't believe it. How many of y'all in here want to be an unstoppable church and unstoppable people? A people that's not dictated by the things of the world, but we're able to move because God's put us in a position to move.
Amen.
We don't have to wait on a building. We can go find any building we want and purchase it.
Amen.
Cash money. We don't have to wait on the man to drop the car 20%. You need a car, we'll go buy you one.
That's right.
Y'all not even in here listening
Amen.
To me.
Amen.
That's what's on the inside of my belly, church. You need a house, you need to get out the projects, you need to get out of the bad neighborhood, no problem. We can have you a deed by 5 o'clock Sunday afternoon. How did we get that way? Because we were a church, a group of people that came committed through giving.
Amen.
Number two, sometimes, church, I feel like I'm ahead of myself, you know? I feel like I'm preaching. I don't even know if I should be preaching this stuff. I kind of feel like I'm ahead of myself.
Go ahead, Pastor.
God allows, number two, is God allows the spirit of grace and favor to rest upon the house. The Bible says that great grace was upon them all. So grace and favor just wasn't upon the pastor and the first lady. Grace was on your life. Favor was on your life. Favor was on your life. Favor was on everybody's life that was connected to the man and the woman of God.
Amen.
Because we got committed through giving.
Amen. Amen.
Y'all think some of y'all are experiencing favor. You ain't experienced nothing yet. Because this is just the beginning stages of what God wants to do. We've
Yes.
got favor with the school. We've got favor with the bank. We've got favor with people. But this is just the beginning, church, of
Yes.
what God wants to do.
Amen.
Don't get
Amen.
Committed and don't get complacent because we're in a gym and we got all this stuff. This is just the entry level of what
Yes.
God wants to do in
Yes.
this house.
Oh, Yes.
God, if I had anybody in here. That can understand what's coming out of my belly, y'all.
Jesus.
This is just the beginning of what God wants to do.
Amen.
Some of your lives, I prophesy it now, and I decree it will not be the same. You
Amen.
Look at your life now, and you look at your life 2 years and 3 years from now. It will not be the same.
Amen.
You won't be living check to check and driving a car with smoke coming out the back of it. Oh, God, I feel your anointing in here.
Yes.
You won't have to struggle, and you won't have to do that. Why? Because grace and favor is upon this house.
Yes.
Feel an anointing here. There's an ease in accomplishing the things of the kingdom. Why? Because God's favor is upon the leadership and the people of the church. Number three, the Bible says that in verse 34, neither was any, look at your Bibles, neither was there any among them that lacked. Do y'all see that? Neither was there any among them that lacked. So there was nobody in the church that was in lack.
Amen.
I said there was nobody in the congregation of a multitude. A multitude's at least 1,200 folk. That's at least a multitude. 1,200 people. Nobody was in lack. And so God destroys the spirit of lack. Although poverty will always exist, we'll always have poverty. And Jesus said the poor will always be among us, but that didn't mean the poor. Poor had to be on us.
That's right. That's right.
And so what happens, church, is God will begin to destroy the spirit of lack. It did not reign in the body because God destroyed it, and it was no longer able to function in the body because the body was taught the word, and they had received the word, and they had come to a place where they were in a position to bring them out, bring people out of lack.
Amen.
Someone came in the church that was destitute, that was poor, that was naked. We didn't have to contact the finance committee. I say we didn't have to contact the finance committee because you had enough wealth in your pocket to pay their entitled death ratio off. Are y'all hearing me in here? Because we got committed and we got connected through the things of God through giving. Number four, meeting the needs of others becomes the focal point of the church. That's the fourth thing that God does. This has always been the desire of God, that the church, I'm talking about the organization, the body of Christ, is in a position to cater to the needs of widows, homeless, and destitute. God never called social services to handle the things of needed people. But social services, listen to me closely, had to be raised up because the church wouldn't get in position.
Say that, Pastor.
I say social services and food stamps and Section 8 and all that had to be raised up because the church wouldn't take their rightful place that God always intended. God always needs, had his focus on others.
Yes.
That's why this church is based upon the needs of others, meeting needs, impacting lives, and empowering the next generation. We are called to meet needs. We meet your needs financially. We need them spiritually, physically, socially, economically. Any need you have, the church is called to meet it. I'm not talking about a place with stained glass windows where you come on every Sunday and hear a pretty choir sing and hear me give you 3 points and go home. I'm not talking about that.
That's right.
I'm talking about a 7-day organization, a 7-day operation that is just not called to Sunday and Wednesdays.
Amen.
Do y'all hear me in here? That's what's in my belly. I'm not just talking about just coming here twice a week and we just hear some good singing and we hear some good preaching and we go home and we're not able. I'm talking about a 7-day a week operation. And the only reason we shut down on Sundays is because we got to meet the needs of the people through the preached word of God.
Amen. Amen.
Are y'all hearing this
yes,
morning?
Sir. It
is at this point where the church regains its rightful place and gets into a position where it's able to reach out to the community and meet the needs of the less fortunate instead of social services like I just ministered. In conclusion, church, let us set ourselves in agreement. Let's do our part. Can you help, Pastor? I say, can you help, Pastor? Can you help, Pastor and First Lady? Let's do our part. Believe. Give from your heart. Give as God has prospered you. I've given in times of famine, and I've given in times of excess. I haven't got there yet, but I speak over my own life today, that the day shall come where we're in a position to meet needs, impact lives, and empower the next generation. financially, economically, and spiritually. I know things may not look the way you think they ought to look now, but that's okay. Somebody used to always saying, oh, I know who that is. I can't use that. Y'all knew what I was going to say, don't you? Stick around.
That's right.
And watch God not only elevate our lives, but watch Him elevate your lives.
That's right.
I said, stick around. And watch God not only elevate our lives, but elevate your lives as well. I was talking to a pastor, preacher friend, and I knew this brother 5 years ago. I'm not going to give any names, but this is a very successful pastor. But what you see now is not what you saw 8 years ago. Pastor lived in a place smaller than ours. Had a car that was smoking. You know, had a lot of issues going on in life. The friend of mine, he drove a 85 Nissan Maxima. You know, the four-door one, short body. Rusted in the back, smoking. 8 years ago. Today,
come on, Pastor.
In a $325,000 house, almost paid off. Bought his wife a brand new Jaguar. Paid off.
Amen.
I'm not talking about a late model, an 85. I'm talking about an 04.
That's right. That's right.
Why? Because they got connected through giving.
Amen.
And they saw the vision.
That's right.
I hope I'm preaching to some folk in here today that see a vision. Because I'm not going to be the same. And I don't want y'all to be the same.
That's right.
I know where God's taking me.
That's right.
I know what God showed me. I know what God's called me. I know where God's taking me. And though it may not look like that now, you can't get concerned with that. You have to do your individual responsibility. Love God. Give with your heart instead of your head. And watch God give the increase.
Amen.
I have a vision of a minimum of 16 people working 7 days, well, not 7 days, 5 days a week, because that's
Amen.
What it takes to run the ministry.
Amen.
These armor bearers that serve here on Sundays, one of them need to be on staff.
Amen.
Hello. Because of the places we have to go and the things we have to do to accomplish the vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. Meeting needs, impacting lives, and empowering the next generation. Let's allow God to take us into a place where we'll have all things in common. Remember, church, the kingdom is calling. I told you that last week. We have an assignment to fulfill. We have work to do. Stand on your feet. Yeah, that same track. Go ahead and get that master, please, so we can take it to the back, the master tape. And start recording. You're in here today, you say, Pastor, I don't know the Lord.